Let's turn in the Word of God this evening to Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3, we'll consider tonight verse 24. Let's read this chapter together. The Word of God at Proverbs 3. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord, and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Honor the Lord with thy substance, and with the first fruits of thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a life, a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her, and happy is every one that retaineth her. The Lord by wisdom hath founded the earth. By understanding hath he established the heavens. By his knowledge the depths are broken up, and the clouds drop down the dew. My son, let not them depart from thine eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. So shall they be life unto thy soul, and grace to thy neck. Then shalt thou walk in thy way safely, and thy foot shall not stumble. When thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid. Yea, thou shalt lie down, and thy sleep shall be sweet. Be not afraid of sudden fear, neither of the desolation of the wicked when it cometh. For the Lord shall be thy confidence, and shall keep thy foot from being taken. Withhold not good from them to whom it is due, when it is in the power of thy hand to do it. Say not unto thy neighbor, go, and come again, and tomorrow I will give, when thou hast it by thee. Devise not evil against thy neighbor, seeing he dwelleth securely by thee. Strive not with a man without cause, if he have done thee no harm. Envy thou not the oppressor, and choose none of his ways. For the forward is an abomination to the Lord, but his secret is with the righteous. The curse of the Lord is in the house of the wicked, but he blesseth the habitation of the just. Surely he scorneth the scorners, but he giveth grace unto the lowly. The wise shall inherit glory, but shame shall be the promotion of fools. So far we read the inspired Word of God. Let's read together just that 24th verse again. When thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid. Yea, thou shalt lie down, and thy sleep shall be sweet. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, the sermon this evening is about sleep. That's what Solomon is referring to in verse 24 of Proverbs chapter 3, he talks about lying down. He's talking about the time every single day when you and I lay our heads down on our pillows at night in order to sleep. When we do that, what we learn in this passage is that we are not to be afraid. One of the great blessings that we experience as the children of God is that every single day when we lay our heads down to sleep at night, we have no reason to be afraid. But in contrast to that, Solomon makes clear that we can enjoy a certain type of sleep, what he describes in the text as sweet sleep. The sermon tonight is on the blessing that we enjoy as the children of God, the blessing of sweet sleep. Let's look at the 2 points of, in the first place, the fears of the night. That's what he talks about at the beginning of the verse. Over against sweet sleep, there are the fears of the night. And then we need to see in the second place this evening that sweet sleep, and that is the fruit of having sound wisdom in the way of being wise in our lives. God grants to us as His children the blessing of this sweet sleep. It's good for us to hear a sermon about sleep. The reason that it's good for us to hear a sermon about sleep is that we spend a lot of the time in our lives sleeping. It's a very significant part of our lives. Every single day, every single one of us here tonight needs to sleep. And not just sleep for a couple hours during a 24-hour period, but we need to sleep for a significant amount of time each and every day. For something as significant as sleep and the important role that it plays in our lives, we need to be able to think about it and address it from a spiritual point of view. There is a certain mystery that surrounds sleep from a physical and biological and physiological point of view. When science studies sleep, there are a lot of answers that cannot be given. Why we have to sleep and what's going on when, in fact, we sleep. But from a spiritual point of view, there is much that can be said about sleep, and the Word of God teaches us much about sleep. And it's good for us as Christians to be able to understand sleep from that spiritual point of view. God in the Scriptures reveals a lot about sleep. We learn something about God regarding that. We sang from that psalm, Psalm 121, that God is the God that neither slumbers nor sleeps. And that's part of who God is as the God who preserves us and watches over us and keeps us in all that we do. It's amazing that that's who God is. That's what makes God, God. But there is more that we can say about sleep from the Word of God. And I'd like to go through a few passages that talk about sleep. These aren't directly related to the passage that we're considering tonight, but maybe the sermon tonight gets you thinking a little bit more about sleep. And these are some of the things that you can look to. But the point is that it allows us to look spiritually at sleep, this very significant thing in our lives, something that we do a quarter to the third of our time here on this earth. A very similar passage to the one that we are considering is Psalm 3 and 4. Psalm 3 and 4 both have a verse that talks about sleep. Psalm 3, verse 5 says this, I laid me down and slept. I awaked, for the Lord sustained me. And then in verse 8 of chapter 4, we read this, I will both lay me down in peace and sleep. For Thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety. We also sang tonight from Psalm 127, another psalm that mentions sleep. Psalm 127, verse 2, warns us against the folly of rising up early and sitting up late to eat the bread of sorrows, for so He giveth His beloved sleep. And in addition to that, we can look at the fact that God warns against the sins associated with sleep. There are sinful things that we can do as it relates to our sleep, and that is sleep too much. And so Proverbs elsewhere, we're considering a passage from Proverbs. Proverbs elsewhere talks about that. Proverbs 6, verse 9. Proverbs 6, verse 9. How long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou arise out of thy sleep? And then you can flip over to the end of the book of Proverbs, to Proverbs 20, verse 13. Proverbs 20, verse 13, where we are exhorted not to love sleep, lest thou come to poverty. Open thine eyes, and thou shalt be satisfied with bread. So there are dangers associated with sleep. We must not love sleep and sleep too much, lest we be the sluggard. We can look, for example, at examples of men sleeping. We have the positive example of Jesus in Matthew chapter 8. I won't read those verses, but you know the history. Jesus was in the boat, and the wind and the storm came, and the disciples were afraid. But Jesus was sleeping. He was at peace. And then He rebukes the disciples for their fear that they had. Or you can look at the negative example of Jonah, where he was called, O sleeper, while he was in the boat fleeing from the call that God gave him to go to Nineveh to preach the gospel. There we learn that sleep, also sinfully, can be used to escape the commandments of God. Sometimes we have that attitude when we know that we're living in sin. All you want to do is sleep. It's not sweet sleep, as we'll talk about later, but it's sleep with the idea of escaping what God requires of us to do. Many, many passages in the Bible teach us about this very important thing that we have to do in our lives, namely sleep. We look at one of those passages tonight, the Word of God in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 24, where this is the word to us this evening. When thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid. Yea, thou shalt lie down, and thy sleep shall be sweet. The first thing to do with this passage, beloved, is to look at the fears that are associated with the night. Fears that we may have in our hearts and in our souls when we lie down at night to go to sleep. So often, fear and the night go together. And what we have in this passage is the word that when we go to bed at night and when it's dark at night, we need not fear when we go to sleep. Fear is that state of being in distress, believing that some evil is going to come upon us, something bad is going to happen to us. And so often at night and in the darkness of that night, fears can come upon us. What are those fears that Solomon says in this passage that we need not be afraid of? There is the fear, very simply, of the night. It's not directly the passage. The second and the third point that I'll talk about come out of the passage explicitly, but this is worth mentioning, especially for you children who are listening tonight. Children sometimes have a fear simply of the night. It's the winter right now. The days are shorter and we go to bed when it's dark. How many of you children, when it's dark in your room, very dark at night, are afraid? There's a certain fear in that. And that's why you need the comforting words of your mom and your dad, or you need a little light, a nightlight in your room, or you need your door open just a sliver so that that light shines in. And when you have a little bit of light, all of a sudden the fear goes away. There is a certain fear associated with the night itself. And the word that we'll see in the second point addresses that too. And you children, listen to that. When you have that fear, you need to think of someone. Who you need to think of is God. And we'll talk about that later. You need to know that God is watching you. And God is caring over you. But just the night itself can cause us to have fear. But when we look at the passage itself, Solomon is addressing, in the first place, the fact that there are the wicked who may come upon us at night. and with that bring destruction. Notice that right after the passage in verse 25, "Be not afraid of sudden fear, neither the desolation of the wicked when it cometh." We can apply this to the outward circumstances of those that may come upon us at night. The desolation of the wicked referred there to is the destruction that they would bring coming upon us in a sudden way, a quick way, in the middle of the night. I read earlier from Psalm 4, where David at the very end of that psalm says, "I will lay me down at night in peace, for the Lord keepeth me in safety," a paraphrase of that verse. That was written by David. We don't know exactly when, but we know generally that that was written by David when he was on the run from his enemies. That was the case often for David in his life. When Saul sought to destroy him, and when his own son Absalom even sought to destroy him, David was on the run, fleeing from city to city, hiding in cave to cave. And he penned that psalm likely in one of those evenings, when he was reflecting upon the darkness of the night, likely when he was in a cave in night, very, very dark. And he knows that his enemies are lurking out there seeking to destroy him. And he wonders, "Is this the night where my enemies happen upon me and may be able to take my life and destroy me?" But imagine that, in that cave, in the darkness of that night, knowing that you're being hunted. And how would you approach that? David says that in Psalm 4. He could have peace, and he could have confidence that the Lord would keep him. That can be a fear of ours as well. Physical enemies. Enemies in the sense that there are those who seek our hurt, that come to us in the night. Yes, that's true that we are not living, for example, in a war-torn area right now. So that literally right outside of our windows, we can hear the guns and we can hear the bombs and we can hear the soldiers wondering if they're going to come into our homes at night and hurt us. That's not our case here in West Michigan right now. You can only imagine what it would have been like to live in one of those cities in Europe during World War I or World War II, or to live in one of those cities in Eastern Europe even right now, or in the Middle East, where you hear those bombs and you hear those guns at night and you wonder, will they be coming into my home at night and take my life? It's not the case for us where we live right now. However, we're not immune to this fear, especially for us who are parents. We put our children to bed at night, and we're up for a couple hours after we put them to bed at night, and then we ourselves go to bed. And in the darkness of this night, we're thinking. And our thoughts aren't directed first and foremost upon us. Our thoughts are directed upon our children. And there can be a certain fear of someone coming into our homes in the middle of the night and seeking our hurt and our destruction. A fear, a real fear that we need to fight against associated with the night. But beloved, that doesn't even get to the heart of what our fears may be as it relates to going to sleep at night. The fears that especially we need to hear a word concerning are the spiritual enemies that seek our destruction. We know that from this passage because that ultimately is what Solomon is concerned about in Proverbs chapter 3. Solomon talks all throughout this passage about wisdom and understanding and seeking wisdom and keeping wisdom before our eyes. For example, where this section begins, verse 21, "My son, let not them," wisdom, "depart from thine eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. So shall they be life unto thy soul and grace to thy neck. Then shalt thou walk in thy way safely, and thy foot shall not stumble." That's not a reference there to physically stumbling. It's talking about our spiritual lives. That's what wisdom is. Walking in wisdom's way is walking in this life from a spiritual point of view in a way that is to the glory of God's name. And when we look at this passage, when it talks about when thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid, we need to look at that from a spiritual point of view. Yes, there may be physical enemies that seek our destruction. But even that physical is related to the spiritual, because the fear that we have ultimately that we need to fight against is the fear that if those physical enemies do destroy us, what will our end be spiritually? It's those real enemies that we have that truly seek our spiritual destruction, that if we are not strong in the Lord and wise, as the passage talks about, we will be afraid. We know what we're talking about here. It's laying down to sleep at night with the fear that if something does happen through the night, if I do not wake up as I have done every other night during my life, or if that enemy does come and actually take my life, where will my soul be? Will the enemy of sin, will the enemy of death, will the enemy of Satan get hold upon me and destroy me? That's the fear that causes one not to have the sweet sleep of the passage. That's the fear that can cause us to tremble in the middle of the night. It's that fear that needs to be addressed in this passage. There is an answer, beloved, to the fears associated with the night, all of the fears as we have talked about them so far. And the answer, very generally, is Jesus Christ. The only answer to having the sweet sleep of which the passage speaks is Jesus Christ and clinging to Him by faith alone. But that's not what the passage says explicitly. We'll get to that in our explanation of the passage. But we need to see what the passage says explicitly. The fruit of sound wisdom is sweet sleep. That's the second point of the sermon this evening. Notice the flow of the passage in Proverbs 3. We read together verse 21, but that's what this is talking about. My son, let not them depart from thine eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. And what follows from that are the fruits of having that sound wisdom and discretion and keeping that before our eyes of faith. The fruit of that is verse 22, they shall be life to thy soul and grace to thy neck. The fruit of that is that when we have it before our eyes, we will walk in the ways of safety and our foot shall not stumble. And yes, the fruit of that, of having before our eyes sound wisdom and discretion continually, is that when we lie down at night, we will not be afraid, but instead will enjoy sweet, sweet sleep. Beloved, you desire to have sweet sleep. The Word of God to you is keep before your eyes sound wisdom. We need to be wise. Wisdom is having a knowledge of the truth and then living in harmony with what you know to be truth. And living in harmony with what you know to be truth is living to the glory of God's name. There's always two parts to wisdom. The first part of wisdom is knowledge. We need to know the truth as that is revealed in the Word of God. And that's why the Bible, especially Proverbs, always puts right next to wisdom this idea of understanding. Wisdom and understanding go hand in hand. We need to understand what the truth of God's Word is. But that's not the whole of wisdom, because there are many that can understand with their minds what the Word of God says. What makes a man wise? And this is why even our children can be wise. They can have this spiritual virtue of wisdom, is knowing what God's Word is and living in harmony with that Word, which is to the glory of God's name. That's why you children can be wise and are wise. You know what the Word of God says. Your parents have taught that to you. You know that God's Word says to be obedient to your parents. You can be wise because you can obey that by the work of God in you. And you can enjoy even the sweet sleep of what God says in this passage. But that's wisdom, beloved. Wisdom is knowing the truth, knowing what is real according to the Word of God, and living in harmony with that to the glory of God's name. All wisdom, therefore, comes from God. God is the God of wisdom, and that's why James says in James 1 verse 5 that we are to pray to God for wisdom, who giveth to all men liberally. All wisdom resides in God. So if we are going to be wise, James says we need to seek that wisdom from the hand of God. You understand why wisdom all is from God. God is the all-wise God because He is the God of truth. All knowledge is found in God. All truth is in God. He knows all things. He's omniscient. But what makes God the all-wise God is that what He does in harmony with what He knows is always to the glory of His own name. And we believe that by faith, that God knows everything, and everything God does is always with an eye on His own glory. We read of God's wisdom right before the passage, even in Proverbs chapter 3. The Lord by wisdom hath founded the earth, by understanding hath He established the heavens. By His knowledge the depths are broken up, and the clouds drop down dew. It was in the wisdom of God that He created everything. And He knows everything about this world because He has ordained it in eternity. And now we can say by faith, because of who He is as the all-wise God, that everything He does, everything down to the smallest detail, serves the purpose of bringing glory to His name. And it is for that reason that wisdom ultimately is Jesus Christ. The wisdom of God is Jesus Christ. Later in Proverbs, wisdom is personified. And in that chapter especially, we see the revelation of Jesus Christ as the wisdom of God. God knows all things. And God determined that Jesus Christ, whom He would send as His only begotten Son, would work the most glorious work. He would save a church through His suffering and through His death. And on that cross especially, God would be glorified through the salvation of His church. And what that means, if Jesus Christ is the wisdom of God, if Christ, through what He does and through who He is as the Son of God, brings glory to God's name in all that He does, what that means is that for you and me to be wise, truly wise, requires God's work of putting Christ in our hearts. That is what makes us wise. The work of God to put Jesus Christ by His Spirit in our hearts. And when we have Jesus in our hearts, we walk in wisdom's ways. We understand truth because Jesus is in our heart. We know that the Word of God, which we read, is in fact the Word of God, and we believe that to be the Word of God. We know who God is. We know who we are. We know the way of salvation. And in harmony with that, we act to the glory of God. Of God's name. The only way we walk in wisdom's ways is because God works Christ in our hearts. But now we need to not lose sight of what Solomon says in Proverbs 3 verse 21. That's what stands above this verse that we are considering in verse 24. He says, "My son, let not them depart from thine eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion." He says, don't let depart from thine eyes sound wisdom. Now, what this does not mean is that we can lose wisdom in the sense that we lose Jesus Christ. Christ is the wisdom of God. We are wise because of Christ. It's not saying here that we can at one time be wise and then altogether that wisdom can depart from us in the sense that we no longer have Jesus in our hearts. That's not the truth of God's Word. What it is saying, however, is that we need to keep wisdom before our eyes. We know that as the children of God even, who still have a sinful flesh clinging to us, though we are the children of God, though Christ is in our hearts at times, we can walk with that wisdom not in front of our eyes. When we do not walk in the consciousness of Jesus Christ, who is the wisdom of God. Thus the need to hear this. We can find many examples in the Scriptures of men and women who, for a time, did not walk with the wisdom before their eyes. Solomon, who wrote this, of course, walked in ways of sin. His father David, of course, walked in ways of sin. At those times, wisdom was not before his eyes. And during those times too, undoubtedly they didn't enjoy the sweet sleep of this passage. We need to keep wisdom before our eyes, which means we need to keep Jesus Christ before our eyes. We need to look to Him. We need to look as He is revealed in the Scriptures and walk in wisdom's ways. And now we bring it back to the passage. We bring it back to the passage to see that when that is the case, when we have that sound, that true wisdom of Jesus Christ before our eyes and we are living in the conscious dependence upon that, we can have no fear but enjoy sweet sleep. The answer to all of our fears is exactly that, the wisdom before our eyes. It answers all of our fears. It answers the fear of the enemy who may be lurking on the outside seeking to physically hurt us and take our lives. When every single day we have before our eyes wisdom and we are walking in wisdom's way, we have nothing to fear because we will know that God loves us and God will care for us and God will preserve us no matter what happens in the night. Children, you need to know that when you go to bed at night. No matter what happens in the dark, you need to know that God is looking at you and God is caring for you. And you don't have any reason to be afraid when you go to bed at night and when you are laying there in the dark. God cares for you because God loves you. But that's our answer. That will be our answer in the days of the anti-Christian kingdom when this will be very real from us from a physical point of view. When the enemy will seek to destroy us, when we will wonder if this will be the night when that kingdom finds out that this is a home that has on the wall, this home will serve the Lord. And they will come and seek to destroy us. In those nights, we have no reason to fear if we are walking in wisdom's ways with Jesus Christ before our eyes. But beloved, this answers the true fear. The fear of the spiritual enemies that seek to destroy us. The fear if that physical enemy comes and kills us, what will happen to our soul? Will the spiritual enemy of sin and death and hell get hold upon us? Beloved, the answer is sound wisdom. The answer is understanding what is truth and walking in harmony with that truth. If you are walking in wisdom's ways, day by day by day, you know the truth and you are living to the glory of God's name. And this is what it looks like. You know the truth concerning yourself. and you are living in harmony and to the glory of God's name with that truth. And what does that look like? It looks like this, the confession every single day that I am a sinner and I know it. I look at my life and I look at myself by nature and know that in me there lieth no good thing. It brings glory to God's name. It is the way of wisdom to understand that and to go to God in prayer and say, God, I am sorry for my sins. If you are walking in wisdom's ways, out of the life of Jesus Christ that is in you, you understand the reality of who Jesus is. And you are walking to the glory of God's name in that respect. And what does that look like? It looks like this. Every single day, understanding your own sins, you're going to Jesus Christ. You're going to Him in prayer. And even in the weakness of faith at times, you're simply saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I know my sin, and I know and believe that this is the only way, the way of the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. And if you're walking in wisdom's ways, with Christ before your eyes every single day, you're acknowledging His Word as the Word of truth and striving to walk according to that Word. It doesn't mean that you're living without sin. Nobody can do that. That's not what gives us perfect, peaceful sleep at night. It's not the fact that we go throughout a day and never sin. Every one of us is going to sin every single day. But the walk that is in wisdom's way is the acknowledgement that what I am reading in the Scriptures is the truth, and I know it's the truth, and I want to obey it. And I'm going to work hard at obeying it. And when I fall, I'm going to go back to that first point that I made, that I am a sinner, and that's going to lead me to the next, that I flee to Jesus Christ. But then not in despair, but in thankfulness and acknowledgement that the Word of God is truth, and I am to obey that Word. Beloved, that is the way of wisdom. And walking in that way, day by day, this is the confidence that you can have. That the Lord God is your God, and the Lord Jesus Christ is your Savior. And beloved, the fruit of that is exactly this. No fear. You don't have to fear those spiritual enemies of death and sin in the grave. You don't need to fear it because you know that they will have no power over you. They cannot have power over you because they are destroyed in the Lord Jesus Christ and through His work on the cross. That's what you're saying when you walk in wisdom's ways, when you say you know yourself as a sinner and that Jesus is the Son of God, the only way of salvation, and a striving to walk according to His Word. What you're saying with that is that I love the Lord and He is my Lord and Savior. And all of my enemies spiritually have been destroyed by Him. They have no power over me. And you can be confident of that. And have, therefore, the very sleep of which Solomon speaks in this passage. What a beautiful description of that sleep. It's sweet sleep. It's pleasing sleep. Beloved, we know what that is. You know what the fear is that we talked about. The state of being in distress, the turmoil in our mind and soul can be miserable. Sweet sleep is the opposite. It's pleasing sleep is peaceful sleep. Peaceful because we know the love of God shines down upon me. Peaceful because we know that Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. Peaceful because we know that it doesn't matter what happens to me in this night, but I am confident that the Lord God is my God and I will live with Him forever. Beloved, that's peaceful sleep. That's sweet sleep. And may God give that to us every single day, walking in wisdom's way. You walk in the fool's way, there is no sleep that is sweet. You walk in wisdom's way, understanding this world and living in glory to God's name by confessing sin, acknowledging Christ as your Lord and Savior, and walking in thankfulness. And may God so give us as a congregation and as individual believers sweet sleep. Amen. Our Father which art in heaven, we pray that this word might work in our hearts and that thou wilt give sweet sleep to us as thy people. Give us confidence in the gospel as we have heard it tonight, that Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior, that in the way of clinging to Him by faith, thou wilt give to our hearts and souls peace. So that every night, trusting in Jesus alone, we can enjoy a peaceful rest. Continue, Lord, to reveal to us that gospel of Jesus Christ in the preaching, and continue to use it for our good and strengthening as a congregation. Forgive our sins. Again, we pray for Jesus' sake. Amen.